Greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. God be with you. And Father, please be with us today, Lord, in anointing, in wisdom, Lord. Grant us your grace, Lord, to remember these things. Lord, we want to know and believe what a believer believes according to your word. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Ain't God good? I think we're going to continue with part 5 of New Testament Survey of Faith. And as you know, a survey is an overview, not an in-depth study. That would take us a long time, obviously. But it's helpful to see what a believer is and that we're not deceived by religion. Because there's a lot of religion out there that doesn't obey or doesn't believe what a believer is according to the scriptures. You know? Let me say that faith is translated from the Greek word pistis, which is also the Greek word for belief, strangely enough. In Romans 10 and 17, so belief cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Pistis is also the Greek word for faith that's translated belief in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, for that God chose you from the beginning unto salvation in sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now, I'm going to come back to that in a minute, but pistoeo is the verb for the same word and translated believe. So, in any New Testament survey of faith, these should be included. Believe, believeth, belief. Okay? When we talk about faith, we cannot leave those out. Let me just go back just a minute here, and he chose you from the beginning unto salvation. We believe we have salvation by grace through faith. It's not manifest yet, and what he's talking about, manifestation of salvation here. He chose you from the beginning unto you, believer. From the beginning unto salvation in sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So the Spirit sanctifies us as we believe the truth. The truth is the only thing that can bring us sanctification or separation from the world, the worldly thinking, the worldly mind, unto Christ and the mind of Christ and the Word of God, right? Okay. So what faith or belief is was given by Paul in the ASV, Hebrews 11 and 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. So it's not seen, it's not manifested in the physical realm yet, but we believe it and we're accounted righteous through our faith. So faith or belief is accepting God's word above the things that we see or experience in the world. In the KJV, Hebrews 11 and 1 says, now faith is the substance of the thing hoped for, while the evidence of things not seen. It's the substance. Faith is the substance. It's what God makes for you, the thing that you ask. And of course, you have to hold fast the confession of your faith and your hope that it doesn't waver so that God can do that. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. So we're believing that we have something on the grounds that God said so, not on the grounds that we see it. Whereas the world believe only what they see. But with faith, which is a condition of receiving from God, we believe we have before we see it. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. So with that in mind, let's look at some verses. Before, we were looking at verses that had the word faith in them and looking at the context. And now we'll be looking at verses that have believe, believeth, belief, you know, because we can see that they mean the same thing. Matthew 27 and 42. He saveth others, himself he cannot save. He is the King of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe on him. Well, that's not the kind of belief he wanted. And so he wasn't going to give in to these Pharisees, right? But he saved others. Himself he cannot save. Now, of course, that's one thing we cannot believe for, that we will save self. Because it's through the death of self that we enter in to who Christ is. It's through the death of self that we get more and more of him. He had to go to his cross. He came and he told his disciples that. And they, of course, wanted to see something. They wasn't going to accept this by faith. They had no faith. Therefore, they couldn't enter into the new covenant. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe on him. So their faith was based on sight. And they were unqualified for our covenant. And that's the norm. God still has it that way today, so that only believers can be saved. Mark 1 and 15 says, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe in the gospel. Repent ye and believe in the gospel. So you can say that, have faith in the gospel. It's the same thing. They could have said, we will believe on him, or we will have faith on him. But they weren't believing before they could see, so they didn't understand faith, and neither does most of the church understand what faith is. I'm reminded of Yoda trying to explain to, what's the boy's name? Luke Skywalker. His plane had sunk in the swamp. And Yoda was trying to teach him how to use faith to bring the plane up out of the swamp. Well, you know what? There's a lot of Luke Skywalkers out there. They're not walking in the sky, though. They're walking on the earth because they only receive what they see. And they're walking by sight and not by faith. Okay? We have to repent. We have to change our mind. That's what repent means. And believe in the good news of the gospel, which is that he took away your sins, he forgave you, he took away your sins, he took away your curse, he took away the curse of sin, you know, sickness, disease, disaster, everything. He took that away. You have to believe that before you can see it. Okay? Mark 5 and 35. While he yet spake, they came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the teacher any further? Well, their faith ended when the child died. That was it. It's irreconcilable, right? No, that's not. Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them. That's what it says in the original. And you shall have them. So when the world says it's too late, God says, well, not necessarily so. It has to do with your faith, be it unto you according to your faith. Why troublest thou the teacher any farther? But Jesus, not heeding the word spoken, don't listen to people who only speak what they see, but they have no faith for God to do things for them supernaturally. because that's how you enter into the supernatural realm. Most of the church doesn't enter into the supernatural realm at all. But these signs shall accompany them that believe. We have to let Jesus be telling us what is a believer, right? And they're not believers, okay? So not according to the scripture. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, right? So, but Jesus, not heeding the word spoken, saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, fear not, only believe. Fear comes because you don't believe. Fear blocks belief or faith. It blocks it. If you let fear rule, belief or faith will go out the window. A little further down, verse 39. And when he was entered in, he saith unto them, why make ye a tumult and weep? The child is not dead, but sleepeth. Now he was speaking faith, that the child was going to wake back up. Well, it goes on to say, and they laughed him to scorn. They had no faith. They're like a lot of religious people today. They say you're crazy if you believe in a resurrection of the dead. We've seen resurrections of the dead, and we know how they come. You speak a word, and you have to stand on it and believe it and confess it. And they laughed him to scorn. But he, having put them all forth, why? Because of the unbelief. He did not want to honor their unbelief with a miracle. He put them all forth. Taketh the father of the child and her mother and them that were with him, and goeth in where the child was. And taking the child by the hand, he saith unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Now, some people say Jesus didn't speak in tongues, but we know in several cases he did that. It was being interpreted. Not that this was the interpretation, but it was being interpreted. Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel rose up and walked, for she was 12 years old. And they were amazed straightway with a great amazement, because Jesus was demonstrating here how faith works, how the kingdom people do things. Today it's all drugged down on the natural. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. From such turn away, we're commanded. Mark 9 and 21 on down. And he asked his father, how long time is it since this hath come unto him? And he said, from a child. It's harder to believe when things have been with somebody for a long, long time, you know. Because the devil, you know, tries to talk people out of it. It's been this way for all this time. It's going to always be this way, you know. But no. Verse 22 says, and oft times it hath cast him both into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, well, that's some people's terminology. They use, if it be thy will. When we know in the scriptures, it was his will. If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus saith unto him, if thou canst? All things are possible to him that believeth or has faith, which is the substance of the thing hoped for. You have to give God the substance. He makes the thing you hope for from the substance, and it's faith. All things are possible to him that believeth. All things. My goodness. Isn't that awesome? Straightway the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Well, now, this is good. I'm glad this is in here, because sometimes we need to ask God for more faith. Right? Help thou mine unbelief. My lack of faith. Help my lack of faith. I believe. Help thou my unbelief. So if you feel your faith is weak, just remember Jesus gave you his faith at the cross. He made a reconciliation, an exchange of his life for your life. He gave you that. You have a right to ask him for this. Or you just have a right to disbelieve it, that it's yours. You have a right. And when Jesus saw that a multitude came together, came running together, he wasn't trying to put on a show. He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I command thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him." Now, sometimes that's what the Lord calls for, especially with a child, probably. Other people are held responsible for what they believe or say. Like Jesus said, only believe. Fear not, only believe. Don't get double-minded here, because you're not going to receive, like James chapter 1 said. Enter no more into him. And having cried out and torn him much, he came out, and the boy became as one dead, insomuch that the more part said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him up, and he arose. Amen. Jesus believed unto the end. He could have believed what they said. Well, he looks dead to me. But he wasn't paying any attention to what he saw. He reached over and grabbed his hand and raised him up. And he was alive. Praise be to God. Mark 9 and 42 says, "And whosoever shall cause one of these little ones that believe on me or has faith on me," no matter how simplistic it is, because sometimes little ones have simplistic faith, and they make a lot of mistakes, you know, because they don't know a lot. They haven't really been filled up with the Word, which is Christ, and they're not walking in all of Christ, but they love the Lord, and they're eager for more. And no matter how old you are, you can be a little one, because you don't know much, but you want the Lord and you want his ways, right? So, "Whosoever shall cause one of these little ones that believe on me to stumble, it were better for him if a great millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea." True. And there are many that cause the little ones to stumble, especially false religious leaders who have no business leading anybody. They need to be led because they're blind and they don't agree with the scriptures. They agree with their religion, which has no power with God, no more than the Pharisees and the Sadducees had in Jesus' day. He will judge those who cause his to stumble. "Don't be many of you teachers," he said, "because you're going to receive the heavier condemnation." Don't do this. Man can't make you a teacher. You can go to their school, they can give you a certificate, but that does not make you an ordained teacher. You have to be ordained by the Lord. Now, Mark 11 and 23 says, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain," you know, if a man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, he's going to receive something. It's important what you say. If you believe something, you have to say something, right? "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart," "but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass," or "but shall have faith that what he saith cometh to pass," as we've discovered it's the same word, you know, "he shall have it." If you have faith, you will have it. "Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them, and you shall have them." Verse 24. Believe that you received them. Before you see, you believe you received, right? And you shall have them. In Mark 13 and 21, And then, if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is the Christ, or Lo, there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs, and the word Christ means anointed, false anointed, and false prophets. Notice it's plural. It doesn't say, it never says, a false Christ or false prophet, right? Now it's going to be a plural, I can assure you. And shall show signs and wonders, that they may lead astray, if possible, the elect. Deuteronomy 13 speaks about that. If he sends you a prophet, and he does a sign or wonder, but he wants you to go after false gods, the Lord is testing you, he said there. He is testing you, yes. He permits that, to test you. So, there are people who do signs and wonders. People believe everything they say. They must be an expert. No, not necessarily. The signs and wonders don't necessarily do anything to destroy the devil's kingdom. That's what I found. It's kind of like the silly signs and wonders of the false revival movement or false prophetic movement. Silly signs that don't do anything to destroy the devil's kingdom. That's how you know it's the devil. Okay. But take ye heed, behold, I have told you all things beforehand. But in those days, after that tribulation, notice, after the tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. The stars shall be falling from heaven, and the powers that are in the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall they see the sign of the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds after the tribulation, he says. Well, before the tribulation, don't let anybody tell you this is the Christ or that is the Christ or so on and so forth, because there are Christs. There are people who are anointed of Christ because Christ lives in them, but no individual is the Christ, just like no Antichrist is the Antichrist. It doesn't say that. If you'll go and look, you'll see what I say is true. There are corporate bodies on the earth today. And that's what the Lord wants us to see. Yes, there will be many false Christs and false prophets. And there are today. Today. The false anointed and false prophets. So, but you won't see the parousia, which is the physical manifestation of the coming of the Lord, until after the tribulation, as the Bible says. Mark 16 and 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Notice, there's a works. As we've already taught and shown, faith has its works. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now you'd say, well, does he really mean that, David? Could it mean this? Are you going to take a chance that you're wrong? No. If you believe, get baptized. But he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. So he that believeth and is baptized, and there's those that disbelieve, and they don't get baptized. Get baptized. It's commanded. If you're trying to worm your way out of everything instead of doing everything that pleases unto the Lord, you'll be able to do it. God will even let you do it. He'll let you explain it all away if you want to. So get baptized. And 17, and these signs shall accompany them that believe. When you believe or you have faith, right? You've got signs. You're going to have signs. When you see people that don't have signs and they say they believe, well, that's not a scriptural New Testament believer. There are signs. In my name, they shall cast out demons. Okay? They shall speak with new tongues. Yes, a scriptural believer speaks in tongues. They shall take up serpents, which is not talking about physical serpents. It's talking about serpent spirits. It's a particular kind of spirit that has the poison in its head. It's a deceiving spirit. Right. And if they drink any deadly thing, although let me say Paul did actually take up a serpent. It wasn't on purpose. He wasn't testing God or anything like that. And he wasn't hurt by it. He didn't do it on purpose. He didn't do it to test God. He didn't do it to prove who he was, like a lot of people do. I mean, and these people die every once in a while and to remind people that this is so. And it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So, accompanying belief, biblical belief, he that believeth on me as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit that they believed on him were to receive. There is actions. There's the obedience of faith, as it was called in the scripture. There is an obedience that comes with faith. Okay. When a person believes, they act. Faith without works is dead in itself. The people that say they have faith, but they don't act on it, they don't have faith. And when you act on faith, you see signs and wonders. You see signs. And God confirms his true word with signs and wonders. So, if you see a place that doesn't have any confirmations of the word, well, no, they're really not scriptural New Testament believers. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, Jesus said. Let's let Jesus be Jesus and be right, okay? Luke 8 and 12. And those by the wayside are they that have heard. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word from their heart. So they heard it, but they didn't act on it. And because they didn't act on it, it was taken from them. Don't you know that that's what usually happens? Commonly, that they may not believe and be saved. They didn't believe, scripturally, have faith in that word. They heard the word. They didn't do anything with it. They didn't have faith in the word to be saved. Whatever saved means here, saved in the scripture, sozo, is used for healing, it's used for deliverance, it's used for what we call salvation of the soul, the spirit. It's used for those things. So, but you need saved a lot of times from different things. Like the disciples in the boat, they said, "Save, Lord!" Yeah, because the boat was sinking, right? And those on the rock are they who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who for a while believe, and in a time of temptation fall away. So, for a while they have faith, waiting to receive the answer, but they give up in the time of temptation. Don't you know the devil's going to come make war on you sometimes when you're trying to believe for something? Believe you have received. Jesus said, everything you pray for, believe you have received. That's what he said. Everything. Believe you have received. But in a time of temptation, people give up this before they see the answer. So that's why Jesus said, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. They don't endure. And that which fell among the thorns, these are they that have heard, and as they go on their way, they're choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Are we supposed to bring fruit to perfection? Yes, of course. Green fruit won't do. Rotten fruit won't do. They're choked with the cares and riches of pleasures of this life. This distracts them from their goal. And what's important to them is not the things of the kingdom, but the things of the world. And so they can't bear fruit. In verse 15, and that in the good ground, these are such as in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast. They hold on to the word. They don't let it go. They don't let the devil talk them out of it. You know, they hold it fast and bring forth fruit with patience. Wow. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be entire, lacking in nothing, James 1 says, right? Patience, fruit with patience. Luke 7 and 30. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected for themselves the counsel of God, being not baptized of him. Well, they were proud, you know. I mean, this guy running around and eating locusts and honey and wearing leather suits, he certainly wasn't one of them, right? But he had a true word of repentance, and the people who repented went to him. These Pharisees and lawyers were too proud to repent. After all, they'd gone to Bible school. You see, they were too proud. So they rejected for themselves the counsel of God, not being baptized of him. And a little further down, let's go to 20 and 4. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? And they reasoned with themselves, these Pharisees and Sadducees. They reasoned with themselves. They didn't reason with God, it was themselves. Saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why did you not believe him? So really, they're really worried more about what the perception of people around them is than God. They weren't applying this to themselves. They were only worried about one thing, their position, their ego. And they answered that they knew not whence it was. I bet they hated to say that, you know, but they were kind of trapped into it. And a little further, 22 and 67 says, if thou art the Christ, tell us. But he said unto them, if I tell you, you will not believe or have faith. Well, sure. Look, after all that Jesus did, the signs and the wonders, and he told them, hey, if you don't believe me for my word's sake, believe me for my works. Right? If thou art the Christ or the anointed, tell us. But he said unto them, if I tell you, you will not believe. You know, Pam sent me a word this morning that she said was for us today. And Hosea 12 and 10. I have also spoken unto the prophets, and I have multiplied visions, and by the ministry of the prophets have I used similitudes or parables. You see, God used parables and the disciples didn't like it. He wanted them to speak plainly to these Pharisees and Sadducees. They loved these guys, you know. They really wanted them to be saved. But they were rejecting the foundation of salvation here. The John the Baptist repentance. It didn't come in a pretty package. And of course they were very proud of pretty things and nice clothes and, you know, big temple, and poor Johnny's out there sitting on a rock. You know, I mean, this is a letdown to them, you know, a humbleness to them. The people can receive things, but the last to receive are the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They're the last to receive. Don't think they're going to change their mind when you bring them something new that they didn't learn in Bible school. In most cases, they will not. If God has done a work in one and humbled them, they will receive. Luke 24 and 25. And he said unto them, O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe, or to have faith in, all that the prophets have spoken. All that the prophets have spoken. Now, if you're around people and they pick and choose verses, they're not going to believe on the Christ of the Bible. He is the Word, and the Word is one. John 1 and 7, the same came for a witness, that he might bear witness of the light. That was John. That all might believe through him. He came to bear witness of the light. And down in verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe or have faith on his name. His name is his nature, his character. See, a lot of people don't even have, they don't believe in the nature and the character and the authority of the Lord. They've got another Jesus. And what they're proud of is their religion, which is an idol, right? So, if we will believe, if we will receive the witness of the light, and we will believe, we have the right to become children of God. John 3 and 12. If I told you of earthly things, and ye believe not, or have not faith, right? How shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Well now, you know, the difference is the natural and the supernatural. There are many religions and many churches out there that only deal with the natural. And they don't believe all that the prophets have spoken. They only believe in the natural. How can they believe in heavenly things? When Jesus did heavenly things, the Pharisees did none of those things. They were like the religious people today. They had no power. They did none of those things. They didn't believe these heavenly things. I'm sharing you about heavenly things, of how to enter in to our heavenly life with Christ. But they don't believe this. They make fun of it. Verse 13, and no one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven, even the Son of Man, who is in heaven. I think "who is in heaven" was not in the numeric. But even though that is true, we should not add it because it could take something from the text. There's no numeric pattern in it. So no one ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. Even today, no one ascends into heaven. They ate the manna that came down out of heaven, and it gave them a right. You see, we eat the manna that came down out of heaven, Jesus Christ. And we become who he is. He is manifested in us. Christ, Christian, the real Christian, goes to heaven. That is, the one who is Christ-like in you can go to heaven if you've borne that fruit, right? We have the right to bear the fruit. As many as believed him, he gave them the right to be the children of God. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Well, when they lifted up the serpent, the people put their eyes on the serpent and not on their snake bites, which represents their curse, their sin. And when they got their eyes off the snake bite and on the serpent, on the pole, they were healed. So, when we get our faith on Jesus, who was on the pole, the cross, and we believe that he bore the curse for us, he bore sin, he bore sickness, he bore the curse, as the Bible says plainly, even though they'd like to talk you out of it, which is crazy, because they're a stumbling block, and people die because of their false reasoning. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You must know that when you get your eyes on Jesus, who bore the curse for you, that is, to be hung on a cross, that you have a right to life, here and now. 15, that whosoever believeth may in him have faith. When you believe, you're in him, right? That's the only way to be in him. That whosoever has faith may in him have eternal life. Remember that what faith is now. The natural preachers drag everything down on the natural, but we have to have a supernatural Savior to have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him, or has faith on him, should not perish, but have eternal life. He gave his only begotten Son. We need to believe on the Jesus of the Bible. I mean, I know that's a progressive revelation, and it's okay as long as you're progressing in the revelation. But once you sit down and you put your little box around your little dead Jesus, that's where you stop revelation and you stop bearing fruit. If you don't bear fruit, you're going to be cast forth. That's what the Bible says. For God sent not the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. Oh gosh, and he's coming again, saints, as an epiphany before the parousia. He's coming as an epiphany. He's coming into the world to save the world. And all who believe in him will be saved. And he that believeth on him is not judged. He that believeth not hath been judged already. We're out from under judgment when we believe in him. We believe what he did for us. We believe who he is. We believe that his life is now our life. We believe that we don't live anymore. He now lives in us, as Paul gave the good confession. He that believeth not hath been judged already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. You cannot have another Jesus. It's forbidden. And chapter 3 and verse 36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath eternal life, but he that obeyeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Notice, if you believe, you will obey. Faith without works is dead. He that believeth on the Son hath eternal life, but he that obeyeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 14 and 19. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet, because he told her everything that she had done. And our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. It's not a place that we have to worship. It's a state of being that we have to worship. And we have to do it everywhere. Verse 27, Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. Some people think you have to worship in their church, and the only place they ever worship, if they call it that, is in their church. Otherwise, they don't open their mouth, because it's not in spirit and it's not in truth. Verse 22, you worship that which you know not. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And he said that now is, right then, those people who were following Jesus were learning how to worship the Father, not in a place that was, quote, holy, but with a holy life. It has to be in spirit. You worship him in spirit. You know what it is when you do things in spirit. Your whole being is behind it, right? When you see people jumping up and down in a football game, what is that? That's in spirit. Their spirit's behind it. They're into it, man. And truth. You know, if you're just singing because the next guy sings, to be acceptable. That's not in truth. It's in truth. For such doth the Father seek to be his worshipers. He doesn't care where they are. In Jerusalem, on the mountain, makes no difference. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. God knows those that worship him. The woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, he that is called Christ, the Anointed, in other words. And when he is come, he will declare unto us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And down in verse 42, and they said unto the woman, after she gave her testimony about Jesus being this prophet, because he knew everything she did. And they said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy speaking, for we have heard for ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. Well, here you go, a bunch of Gentiles that are Jew wannabes got the revelation, while the great Jewish preachers did not have the revelation that Jesus was who he said he was. And so it will be in the days to come. You know, these people had been planted in the land by the beast and taught the religion of the Jews. And so, but they did not know the Lord. And there are many that are planted in religion, which is really just the beast, and they don't know the Lord. But they got a revelation. They saw the Lord. They saw God manifested in Jesus and heard the words of God coming out of Jesus. And they were saved, because if you get the right word, you get saved. The true word, the faith of the gospel, as we said before, you get saved. And you don't even have to go to an altar to do that. In fact, I don't remember these guys carrying altars around with them, nor pulpits. It's all just a bunch of religion. John 4:48. Jesus therefore said unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will in no wise believe. And hold on to that for a minute till we read 5:24 on down. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me, because he was speaking the word of him that sent him, right? And we've been sent too by, but we have to speak the word that he gave us, not another word. It has power. And believeth him that sent me, hath eternal life, and cometh not into judgment, but hath passed out of death and into life. And down in verse 38, it says, and you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he sent, him you believe not. Now, it's the same today. If you preach the word, right out of the word, and they don't believe it, they don't believe the one who sent you. Don't get offended. They just don't believe the one who sent you. And 44. How can ye believe who receive glory one of another? And the glory that cometh from the only God you seek not. If a person has an egotistical ambition, they're not going to be able to receive. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. He said, how can you believe, you who receive glory one of another? Are you trying to impress people around you? Well, you're not going to receive because it's a humbling experience to receive. You have to give up yourself. You have to give up your ego. You have to lose your life to gain your life, right? Verse 46 says, "For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me." Now, of course, Moses was one of their heroes, but they didn't believe him. The Wesley boys, some say, started a religion. Of course, they didn't. Other people clung to them, and they claimed they believe in them, but actually, if they go back and read what they said and do what they did, they'd be totally different people. They'd be full gospel, running after Jesus, demonstrating Jesus people. And they're not. And Moody and others that people cling to, they thought they were clinging to Moses, but Moses wouldn't claim them. If you believe not their writings, you don't believe his words, right? And of course, people just make up things as they go. John 6 and 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent." This is the work of God, to believe on him whom he has sent. If they believed Jesus, they would do the work of God. They would be enabled to do the work of God, because faith is the foundation for the works of God, right? And since they refuse the works of God, they haven't believed on the one that was sent. Who is Jesus? Or who is you? If you preach the same thing to them, if they don't believe you or don't receive you or Christ in you as the word comes forth, it's the same thing. They said therefore unto him, "What then doest thou for a sign that we may see and believe thee? What workest thou?" They wanted to see before they would believe. But God doesn't accept that. He accepts those that believe before they receive and before they do the works and the miracles. Believe first, and then you will see. God was being weak to the weak to show miracles unto these people. But guess who he was showing it to? He was showing it to the common man. And they were believing and receiving. The Pharisees and the leaders were the ones that had, they liked their pedestals, I'll say. They liked their pedestals. They didn't like to come down. We're the experts. Who's this guy? You know? And then so they didn't believe and didn't humble themselves and didn't repent, didn't want the new life. They loved the glory that is of man. Right? In 35, Jesus saith unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall not hunger. And he that believeth or haveth faith on me shall never thirst." Oh, glory be to God. He quenches the thirst. He gives the desires to those who believe on him. The desires of the heart. And 36, "But I said unto you that you have seen me and yet believe not." And verse 40, "For this is the will of my Father, that every one that beholdeth the Son and believeth on him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Oh, praise the Lord. If we believe on him, there will be a resurrection at the last day, not 7 years before the last day, as they say, because the resurrection of the dead and the rapture happens at the same time. And of course, it's after the tribulation, so everybody can be involved who believed on him during the tribulation. Okay. I will raise him up at the last day. Believe on the Jesus of the Bible. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth hath eternal life. Well, it's not just anything. It's the Jesus of the Bible that we believe in. It's his sacrifice for us. Amen? Verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not. Well, they were acting like believers. They were around him. They were hanging around. They liked what he said. And who it was that should betray him. He knew the one that was among them that would betray him. Many times I've known the one that's among us, either through dream or vision or revelation, or just by the Spirit of God, who was a betrayer, was a Judas. I've seen lots of Judases. But at least that's one way the church gets cleaned out, right? 7 and 5, for even his brethren did not believe on him. Now, we all have experienced this, right? That our brethren do not believe. A prophet is not without honor except in his own house, right? So, well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much, Lord, for giving us a little more understanding about who you are, what is a believer, how that when we believe, we receive whatever is ours by faith as a substance. You take that substance and you make what we need. You bring it to pass in the physical realm, what we call a manifestation. When we believe we have received, the manifestation comes as long as we hold fast to our faith. We thank you, Father, for this in Jesus' name. We thank you for your mighty mercy and your grace poured out upon us today, that you'll give us more faith, that we will study the Word of God to find out who you are and what Christianity is, that we won't take any man's description or of what is a believer, but we will see who is a believer by someone who agrees with your word and believes in repentance and believes in to coming into the image of Jesus Christ, his works, his life, so on and so forth. He is the master. We are the disciples. We are learners and followers. We study him to know what the Christian life is like. And we thank you, Father, for doing that in us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, saints, and God bless you. We'll do this again one day. Amen. Good night.